Ben Tradion. Avoisai, good morning. Our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refuah Shleima V'Yosef Dov Bechayla B'Korev B'Sar Shechayla Yisrael. Chofetz Chaim, at the end of Klal Tes, we're in the final Sefer Klal Tes, makes a mention of a very simple and obvious thing. And I'm not quite sure why he puts it in at this particular stage, but because Klal Tes is about Havak Loshon Hara, which we've been discussing, where you cause Loshon Hara to be spoken, or you mention something but it's indirect, etc. And at the end he says that there are unfortunately many children who grow up not even realizing that there's a problem with what they say. That they can speak about other kids, they can speak about their teachers, they can speak about other things that are going on, about adults, etc., etc., and the parents don't seem to make an issue. It could be today, I don't know, with all the publicity that we have and all the sforum that we have in English and that sort of thing, that today it could be that it's better today than it was. But the Chofetz Chaim was saying in his days that there were many children who grew up and they were unaware completely, really, that there was an Issa Loshon Hara or any of the details. They didn't stop to think about what they were saying might be Loshon Hara, might be Rechilus, might have an Issa. And therefore he just says in this sort of final paragraph as we leave Klal Tes, that one has to be mechanech the children from when they're young, because otherwise it's much harder to retrain a person when they get older. Suddenly when they're bar mitzvah, then suddenly from then onwards they're not allowed to speak Loshon Hara. And the day before they did speak Loshon Hara, they thought it was mutter. Now it's already they're responsible for their averus. And therefore, it's much harder to retrain somebody. If you train them from young, if parents pick up on the children when they speak Loshon Hara, and they explain to them and they mechanech them, that Loshon Hara is an issa, it is a problem, it's something that you can't do, you need to stop and think before, you need to stop and think before you do something, before you say something, then that's good chinuch, and that's the duty of the parents to pick up on the children. We now go to Klal Yud. Klal Yud is the old, what do you call it, an old chestnut, yeah? Which is, when you speak Loshon Hara L'Toyeles, what are the rules? The Chofetz Chaim refers to it 100 times throughout the first 9 klolim, and now Klal Yud is when he goes through the 7 rules of Toyeles. The heter of speaking Loshon Hara, obviously, Loshon Hara is an Issa D'Oraisa, Rechilus is an Issa D'Oraisa, and therefore one has to be very careful. If you give a person a heter to speak Loshon Hara about somebody else, then it has to fulfill the rules. It has to comply with all the rules and regulations in order to allow you to speak Loshon Hara, which normally speaking would have been Osa, but now we're being mutter it, but we have to go according to the rules. The rules, you all know, you've heard them 100 times already. Of Alpha Piken, we go through the 7 rules of Toyeles just to remind ourselves. So the first rule of all of them is, where are we here? I turned the wrong page, I think. Yeah, here we go. Okay, right. Number one is that the information that you're basing your speaking Toyeles on must be accurate. You either know it firsthand or you verified 100%. And that's why we talked about whether or not CCTV would be good enough for that purpose. And Pashtos, why not? Yeah, it says here that the Chofetz Chaim says either you saw something happen firsthand, therefore you know that the Loshon Hara that you're going to speak is true, or that you verified for sure. We learnt about the Gemara about Rabbi Ami, about the Talmud, that before he threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash, he verified first that the Talmud was speaking proper Loshon Hara. Yeah, so if one verifies, and Pashtas, I imagine that if you've got 2 witnesses, in a Beis Din, by the way, the Chofetz Chaim says, not outside Beis Din, that's verified. If you've got CCTV, I suppose that's verified. You saw it for yourself, verified. Rule number one, you have to be sure that the information is accurate. Rule number 2, Im Yetzer Hashem tomorrow.
Start today at Turnaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Dalet Tammuz, 10th of July. Rena Rav Rav David Potash, Shlita, Bishop Bechamel. This week's Torah is sponsored jointly by family Dudi Rosenberg, Lippus, and so off. Lenzi and Moshe Rosenberg and Goldie Feldman. Chassid took place on Monday. He wrote certain sheep and advice to the Mormons for the Shem Yisroel. Not sponsored by families Kaufman and Krauss. Lila Nishmas, Bela, Bas, Ramosha, Alea, Sholom, the outside was on Sunday. With Schuss, Hashem, Bacha, Elim, and Mokomosh, Shatsul, of Otem, Shalom, and Eirof.
Good morning, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. I was told, I was asked to speak about something, a topic in Halacha. So I want to give the background to something which could be quite practical. Now we know nowadays they have a microwave where we cook in the microwave, warm things up in the microwave, defrost in the microwave. But even a more modern appliance is induction stoves. Induction stoves, the way I understand they work, is the electricity causes a magnetic field. Which, when you have certain type of metals, the magnetic field goes through, it heats up the metal and heats up, therefore, whatever is inside the metal. So you have a stainless steel pot, as opposed to an aluminium pot. With an aluminium pot, it doesn't work. You have a stainless steel pot sitting on an induction stove. There's no heat. The induction stove is cold. You could touch it, but it creates a very strong magnetic field. And that, in turn, heats up the pot, and the pot heats up the food just inside the pot. So the shaila is, the Gabi Shabbos, and various other things like Bosav Bishul, Bosav Cholov, how do we look at this modern way of cooking? So to explain the background to this, we have to understand the principles of what's called Bishul Chama. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, a Mishnah in Shabbos, that's in Perikira, that says that even though we know we're not allowed to cook on Shabbos on a fire, we're not allowed to cook anything, whether it's liquid or solid, cooking on a fire is a av malacha, it's issa deraisa. However, bishul b'chama is muta. Bishul b'chama is muta. What's bishul b'chama? For instance, you take a raw egg, put it in a frying pan, take it out into the burning sun, which in London might be a bit difficult, but in Israel at least, you take it out into the burning midday sun, and within a very short amount of time, you get a nice fried egg. So this is cooking in the sun. It's called Bishul Chama. Now, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the Bishul Chama is Mutar Shabbos. It's not included in the Av Malacha of Bishul. And the Shaila is why? Which we'll get to very shortly. Now, the Gemara says, however, that the Chazal made a Gzeir Rabbanon on what is called Toldos Chama. Toldos Chama means that if the food was not directly cooked in the sunshine, but there was a something else which was heated up in the sunshine. Let's say you took your frying pan and put it, an empty frying pan, in the sun, in the burning midday sun, and the frying pan got very hot with nothing inside it, and then you took the frying pan inside the house, let's say, and put in an egg, and the egg cooked. So now you're not cooking the egg in the sunshine, you're cooking the egg in something that was heated up by the sunshine. So that is called Toldos Chama. It's not Chama itself, it's not the sunshine itself, it's a derivative of the sunshine, of the Chama. And on that, Chazal made the Issur Rabbanon to cooking on Shabbos. Why? Because we can't tell the difference between a frying pan that was heated up in the sun and an empty frying pan that was heated up on the fire. Now, an empty frying pan that was heated up on the fire is called Toldos Eish. The Eish is the fire, and the frying pan was heated up on the fire is called Toldos Eish. And that would be Bishul Derais, so that would be Bishul Min HaTorah on Shabbos. So once we have the frying pan heated up with empty frying pan heated up, and one was heated up in the sunshine, one was heated up on the fire, we can't tell the difference. And therefore, Chazal said, if it's Toldos Chama, with something that was heated up in the sun, and you want to cook on that, that we can't do, because people might get mixed up and think that you could cook on a something that was heated up by a fire. So it comes out, we have Bishul in the sun is Mutar on Shabbos. bishel in a toilda of something, a derivative of something that was heated up by the sun, is also Shabbos midrabanan. Bishel eish and toldas eish is also midrais. Now, the Gemara is specifically talking about something that's heated up in the sun. However, the Gemara later compares other things to the heating up in the sun. For instance, Chamei Teveria, hot springs of Teveria. But the Gemara brings machlekes. How were they heated up? Where what's the source of heat of the Chamei Teveria? But according to one man, the Omar, the Gemara says that Chamei Teveria is toldas chama. Now, the Chamei Teveria do not see the sun. They're heated up by underground heat. By the depths underground are very hot, heated up by underground heat. So we see from this Gemara that toldas chama, the ochama soy itself, the sun, the heating something up in the sun is lav dafka. It's not only the sun which is not a Shabbos sticker, a Shabbos sticker of a melacha. Anything which is not eish or toldas eish is considered chama. Chama is just an example. Heating up in the sun is just an example, but anything which is not derived from fire is considered cham. Now, let's get back to what is the reason that heating up in the sunshine is also is mutter. Sorry, what reason is mutter? Why is it b'emes different to heating up in the fire? So, we have basically two mahalchem in the Rishonim. Rashi says. In Shabbos Tav Lamed Tes, Rashi says, "Shori chama shori, the ein derech bishule bekach," because it's not the normal way of doing bishul. This is Rashi's kiddush that the reason why chama is mutter is because it's not the normal way of doing bishul. Therefore, Tiveria in Chama Tiveria also that would the p'tor would be the reason why it's mutter would be because it's not the normal way of doing bishul. Now, how do we understand what Rashi is saying? So various achronim understand that what Rashi means is that it's a shinui. We know on Shabbos there's the normal way of doing the melacha, which is also midaraisa, and if somebody does it with somehow differently with the way of shinui, then it becomes only also midrabanan. And if it's a shinui gomo, if it's an extreme shinui, then it becomes muta. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovet Shurim, and also Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe and other Achronim, they understand that what Rashi is telling us is that since Rashi says is lav derech bishul bekach, ein derech bishul bekach, that what Rashi is telling us is that this is a shinui, and that's why. So, but normally a shinui would still make it osim rabbana. So why is the chama muta completely lechatril? It's muta. So you have to say according to their way of understanding that it's a shinugam. It's considered such an extreme shinui that it's muta. That's Rashi's mahalach. Now, there is another mahalach in Rashi, which we'll see Be'ez Hashem later on. But there's another mahalach in Rishonim. But before we tell you the second mahalach in Rishonim, let's just clear a hakir, two tzadim. When we say that bishul in chamo is muta, is it because the substance is cooked, but it's not the normal way of doing it? Or is it because the substance is not really cooked? Because the sun, even though it changes the food and it makes it edible, but it's not considered cooked because a fire cooks. The sun doesn't cook, it changes something, it changes the food and makes it edible, but it's not considered cooked. So let's have a look at the Tosfos in Psochim. Tosfos in Psochim, in the Kof Dalet on the base, Tosfos is discussing a sugya here of eating isurim shaloi kederach achilosoi. That means if one eats something also in the not normal way of eating it. For instance, if something is normally eaten cooked and eats it raw, so that's called shaloi kederach achilosoi, and therefore even though it's a dover also, it's potter. So the Gemara brings an example of chaylev. Chaylev is the issur d'oraisa to eat, it's a chi of kores. But if somebody ate it chay, if somebody ate it raw, so he's potter from kores and malchus, because it's shaloi kedach achilos. It's not the normal way of eating. When the Torah says eat, you're not allowed to eat something, the Torah means in the normal way of eating. So Tosfos is discussing here. Something that was cooked in the sun, whether that's called derech achilos or not derech achilos. So Torah says here, Zoi. Torah brings a Gemara Menachos, that the Gemara Menachos says that dam which was cooked in the sun, that blood is also to eat, it's also a chiv koris. If it's cooked in a fire, so then we have the Gemara has a limud that he's not chayef on that. But if he's cooked in the sun, he is chayef. So Tosfos says, why is he chayef? So Tosfos says, de'i bechamo chayu. Because if it's cooked in the sun, it's still raw. It's still raw. So Tosfos says, there's two nafkuminas. One is that Gemara Menachos that says if the blood was cooked in a fire, he's potur, but if it's cooked in the sun, he's chayev, Tosfos says, because it's still raw. It's as if it wasn't cooked. And the other way around, by chelev, by fat, which is also, Tosfos says that, since the Gemara says it's only derech hakelos is when it's cooked, if you cooked it in the sunshine, it's considered still raw, and it's still chayev. So Tosfos says, Tosfos Yesod is, In this Tosfos in Psachim Daf Kof Dalet on base, Vachonam Vasim also is medayik this Tosfos. Tosfos holds that something which is cooked in the sunshine, even though you've changed its muhus, you've changed its nature, and it now becomes edible, but it's still considered raw, because it's not only is it not considered bishul, it's not considered mevushul. The item, the food, is not considered cooked. It's a different way of preparing it. It's a way of preparing it in a way you can eat it, but it's not considered cooked. So it comes out, we have a machloikas, chinvashi and Tosfos, about something that's cooked in the sunshine, whether the actual article of food is considered cooked or not. According to Rashi, it is considered cooked, but the reason why it's mutter is because it's not derech bishul. According to Tosfos, the reason on Shabbos why it's mutter is because it's not considered cooked. You didn't do anything. You made it edible. Might be very tasty. But mitzad, the definition of cooking is not considered cooked.
This microwave is the same thing.
Oh, so now to get to the practical nafkamina. According to, if one cooks in a microwave something that raw and he cooks it in a microwave. According to Rashi, this is considered cooked. It's considered cooked. It's just not the derech bishul, which we'll get to in a second. But according to Tosfos, it's not considered cooked bichlal. I might be able to eat it, but it's not considered cooked bichlal. Now, the Rabbi Shmoshe Feinstein, he wrote his tshuva about microwaves over 40 years ago, when microwaves were just beginning to. It was not long after they were invented, and people were beginning to use them. So Moshe Feinstein writes there that according to Rashi, that Rashi says that Bishul Chamo is lav derech bishul, and the way he understands it is because it's a shinoi, and you have to say it's a shinoi gomo. So Moshe Feinstein says that in his times, 40 years ago, it wasn't yet considered the derech of bishul. However, he posits that in the future, he was talking then, in the future, which is talking about nowadays, that people will probably use it the whole time for cooking, and therefore become derech bishul, and therefore, if it would be possible to use it on Shabbos somehow, then it would be considered bishul derais. The truth is that even though what he foresaw that everybody would have a microwave in their home, the truth is people don't cook with a microwave. Usually they just defrost with a microwave or warm things up with a microwave. So that is really not yet considered derech bishul. Rarely people cook with a microwave, because when you cook with a microwave, it doesn't come out the same. It tastes different, and the texture is different. So people don't like cooking with a microwave. So be'etzem, it never really became derech bishul. It became the derech to defrost and to warm things up, but that never became derech bishul. So even according to Ramesh Feinstein's pshat in Rashi, that Mechama is not the Bishlei, it's the Shinui. A microwave today would still be considered a Shinui legabe cooking on Shabbos. Anyway, it's not in Shaykh on Shabbos to cook with it because you can't open the door because you're making electric current, you're switching on the light, v'chul. But what's more nege to us l'maisa is these induction stoves. The induction stoves now is a derech to cook on. So an induction stove, we explained at the beginning, is not fire. There's no fire, there's no electric coil which is heating up. By the way, an electric coil heating up is also considered fire. That's considered age. The Rambam says it's a gacheles. It's considered a coal, a burning coal, and it's considered fire. So when we cook on electric stoves, regular electric stoves, with a coil, that is considered aish, and a pot heated up by it is todas aish, and of course that would be bishul deraisa on Shabbos. But to get to induction stoves, an induction stove, there's no fire. You can touch the black area of the stove, even when it's switched on, it's completely cold. It's only because it like we said in the beginning, it sets up a magnetic field which does something to the metal of the pot, and it heats up the pot, and the food, therefore, the pot, therefore, goes and heats the food inside the pot. So the induction stoves are considered chamo. They're not eish, they're considered chamo. And therefore, theoretically, if you could cook directly on the induction stove, that would be, bishul chamo would be mutter. The only thing is, that since the food doesn't cook directly on the induction stove, first the stove heats up the pot, and the pot therefore is a tolda of the chamo, and the pot then heats up the food, so here the food is considered being heated up by toldas chamo. So it would be an issur rabbanon to heat up food on Shabbos in an induction stove, but it wouldn't be issur deraisa. That is according to Rav Moshe Feinstein's and Rav Chonon's understanding of Rashi. Now, according to Tosfos, Kol Shekein, that it wouldn't be something also, because since it's not Eish, it's Chama, so therefore it's not in Mavushal, it's not considered Mavushal B'chal. Now, so this is one major Nafka Mina, Halacha L'maisa, whether cooking in an induction stove on Shabbos is Issa D'raisa, Issa Rabbonon, L'chura, Bein according to Rashi, Bein according to Tosfos, it's only Issa Rabbonon. And therefore there would be Nafka Minas, L'maisa, let's say if we have to cook for on Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, does the Choylo need something to be cooked on Shabbos? So it would be better to cook for him on an induction stove rather than to cook for him on a regular fire. Because cooking for, even though Pikuach Nefesh is Derech Shabbos, we have to be memayet b'chilul Shabbos as much as we can, because Pikuach Nefesh is only Dochoy, it's not Hutra, it's Duchoya. And therefore, if it's available, if there's an induction stove available rather than a gas stove or an electric stove, then we should cook for the choyla rather on an induction stove rather than on a gas fire or an electric stove. That's what an afkim
in a microwave.
So in a microwave, yeah, also. But in a microwave, you have other problems of opening and closing it and switching it on.
But
an
induction stove, you also have to switch it on.
Well, if induction stove and chlami, but if induction stove was on before Shabbos, all you have to do is put the pot on.
That's what it doesn't stay on. No, I don't know.
If you just have to put the pot on, and it starts going.
It doesn't stay. I think yeah. Okay, I don't know. I don't. So, I never used it.
According to Tosfos, yeah, you said that it would be osur drabonon.
It would also be osur drabonon. It would also be osur drabonon.
It's not cooked Shabbos.
It's still toldos chlami. The muhus of the.
It's not called mavushal.
It's not called mavushal, but it's still told us chama. Cooking the sun is not mavushal.
That was Rashi told us chama was a problem. No.
The Gemara says told us chama is a problem.
Yeah.
Could everybody told us chama is a problem? That's the Gemara.
So how does it work?
The Shai is how do we understand it? So according to but either way, it's a gazera because not to come to cook in told us age.
Yeah.
So make the difference. Go to Rashi or Tosfos. So according to Rashi, even though it's a shinoi, we might get mixed up. According to Tosfos, even though it's not mavushal, it also might get mixed up with Todos Eish. So here, there's no difference between Rashi and Tosfos. But now we'll come to a difference where there is a difference between Rashi and Tosfos. We know there's such a thing on Shabbos that there's also to do bishul achar bishul. Bishul achar bishul, that means if something was already pre-cooked, before Shabbos. So there are certain things on Shabbos which are not allowed to recook, not allowed to heat them up. We know that if it was a liquid, you're not allowed to reheat it on Shabbos. It's called Bishl Acha Bishl, and according to many Rishonim, it's a deraisa. On a solid, there's no Bishl Acha Bishl. If you have a fully cooked piece of chicken, a fully cooked kugel, on Shabbos, you're allowed to heat it up in a mutritic way, which we won't get into now, with no Shia, no Chazara, etc. So on Shabbos, we have a musug that Adov Alach, that means something liquid, Yesh Bishl Acha Bishl. Adov Yovesh, Ein Bishl Acha Bishl. If it was pre-cooked and it's something solid and dry, there's no Bishl Acha Bishl. Now, here we have an unbelievable nafka mina between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, if something was cooked in the sun, or in a microwave, or on an induction stove, according to Rashi, the reason why it originally would be mutar to do it out on Shabbos is because lav derech bishul b'kach. It's a shinui. But we said, the food is cooked. According to Rashi, it's only a shinui in the ma'aseh. It's a shinui in the act, but the act of the food is actually cooked. So according to Rashi, if you have a kugel, or a piece of chicken or meat, or potato that was cooked previously before Shabbos in a microwave or an induction stove, according to Rashi, it's cooked. Therefore, on Shabbos, you would be allowed to go and reheat it in the way which is mutar, right, without Shia and Chazorah, in the way which is mutar. However, according to Tosfos, something which is cooked in the sun, or anything else which is not a derivative of fire, it's not cooked. It's never, even though it's completely edible and it doesn't look too different to something cooked in the fire, but it's not considered cooked. Therefore, according to Tosfos, it would, even if it was cooked before Shabbos in a microwave or an induction stove, and it looks fully cooked, on Shabbos you would not be allowed to go and reheat it, because since it was considered raw, it's considered now that you're cooking it for the first time on Shabbos. And therefore, even though we say Ein Bishlach HaBishl B'Dov HaYovish B'Shabbos, that's only if it was already cooked. But if it wasn't cooked, even though it looks cooked, you're not allowed to reheat it on Shabbos. So it comes out a nafka mina lamaisa. It comes out a very big nafka mina lamaisa. That anybody who cooked something originally in a microwave, which we taka don't, so it's not so common, or has one of these induction stoves and he cooked potatoes or kugel or cholent, whatever it was, on the induction stove, and it's dry, and he wants to reheat it on Shabbos, he won't be allowed to, according to Tosfos. Now, how do we pass the halacha lamaisa? So I tried to find proofs in Shulchan Aruch and the poskim for if there's any discussion of this machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and I couldn't find it, because and why I don't know. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about bishul b'chama, and talks that it's mutar on Shabbos. Talks about bishul b'todas chama, which is also on Shabbos. But the Shulchan Aruch and it's the noise kelim of the Shulchan Aruch don't discuss what is the muhus of the food which will be cooked in the fire. Is it like Rashi that is considered cooked, or is it like Tosfos it's not considered cooked? And therefore, we have an afkum de lemaisa. We have to be cautious for Tosfos, because if it's taka not cooked, it was never considered cooked, to go recook it on Shabbos would be, it's a derisive to recook it in a fire, right? To put it on a blech or on a hot plate.
Why is it not subjected to the person? If he takes a piece of chicken, cooks it in the microwave, and then he eats it, for him it's cooked. So if it's cooked,
you
can heat it up again.
Because the Tosfos proves from the Gemara that it's not subjective. Tosfos proves on the Gemara in Pesachim and Menachos that something was cooked in the sun is not considered cooked. So it's not subjective. That's the way the Gemara describes it. That's the way the Gemara paskens it. So it's like if somebody eats raw sushi, yeah? He loves raw sushi. That doesn't make it cooked because he eats it. So even though for him that's a regular food. So it's the same over here.
Was cooked.
What?
Everybody would say the world is cooked. This chicken is cooked.
Chazal have a different way of looking at it.
It looks cooked. It tastes cooked.
Right,
as we go, put it back in the sun.
Second
that would be okay. That would be fine. Because that's ham after ham. There's another similar nafka minimum with this will end, and that is the Gabi Bishl Basar V'Cholav. We know that Basar V'Cholav, meat and milk, the Torah asked not only to eat, but the Torah said it's also to cook it, to cook meat and milk together. And The post can discuss also what's the din of bishul achar bishul bebasa v'cholok. So the primogodim has a tzad. He discusses the tzad that once the basa v'cholok has been cooked already once together, to go and reheat it would not be issa d'raisa. He entertained such a possibility. So, but again, that would only be if the first time a goy cooked the basa v'cholok on a fire. And so then it's considered mevushal. And the second time, there would be, according to that possibility that the Prima Godim says, there would be no issue of reheating basa v'cholok. But if the first time it was cooked in a microwave, or it was cooked on an induction stove, so then according to Rashi, it's technically considered cooked. So the second time wouldn't be an issue. But according to Tosfos, it was never cooked. It's considered raw. Even though it looks like it looks like a cooked dish together, but it's considered that it's still raw, and therefore to go and reheat it would be issa d'raisa of bishul basa v'cholok. So here the nafka minhag is Rashi and Tosfos, which are cautious. We have to be cautious for the shita Tosfos.
They're going down. There's bishul akums
in there. Okay, now if there will be no bishul akum. Yeah. Okay.
Also, make enough community. If somebody cooks, is he over? Are the kelim dreif? Well, according to Tosfos, there will be.
According to Tosfos.
No, I don't know. The food is not called cooked.
Not cooked, so
you haven't done the ma'ase bishul. You can't be mechalek between the ma'ase bishul and the result.
Yes,
the
ma'ase bishul, but it's not cooked.
I don't know. No, because it was done on the Tzadus Kaba. There's no age, so it's not a ma'ase bishul. So who choices it'll be mutter? According to Rashi, it was cooked with a shiva that was still making.
How, in fact, could you ever cook in the sun? Because you always need a kelim to put it into.